Elisha raising the Shunammite woman's son back to life. As I think about the resurrections of the Bible, I've always been amazed at the resurrections of the Bible, whether it be Elijah raising a widow's son back to life, or Elisha repeating the similar miracle to Jesus raising people back from the dead, to Jesus Christ raising himself back from the dead. I always think about the faith that must have come into the situation and how big of a deal that must have been. Especially in the case of Elijah. Not Elisha that we're going to talk about today, but Elijah. As I read the Bible and I get to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings. I know where. I get to 1 Kings chapter 18. When this boy is passed away. And there's no record in the Bible before that of someone dying and then God bringing them back to life. What faith that must have taken to see God move in a way that he had never done before. There was no precedent for that. But we get to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we see Elisha do a very similar miracle. And I think about the legacy of faith that had been passed on from one generation to another. And as we think about our lives, are we living a life of faith and seeing God move and act? And then the people who come behind us will say, that person stepped out in faith. And they acted in a way where they just gave God their complete trust. And so the generation coming after us would replicate the faith that we've seen, we've been an example of our whole life. Let's read 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 37, I believe is what I want. 8 to 37, as we read the story of Elisha raising this son back to life. 2 Kings chapter 8 says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he had passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, he stood before him. And she said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She said, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." And she saddled her donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant, Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman. Please, now, run to meet her, and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. And the Lord has hidden it from me, and has not told me." So she said, "Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready, and take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, there was the child laying on his bed. He went in therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. He stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He reached and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. And the child sneezed 7 times. The child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Today I'd like to talk to, as we look at Second Kings chapter 4, I'd like to look at died once, born twice. And I kind of heard variations of that. I heard someone say, as a Christian, if you have been born again, born twice, you will only die once. But if you're an unbeliever and you've been born once in this life, you'll die twice. I've heard variations of that. And I thought, well, I could kind of look at that from the life of this, the son of this Shunammite woman. But before we get to the born twice part, we have to look at the beginning. We have to look at what started this all. What started this all out was true compassion in verses 8 to 10 of 2 Kings chapter 4. And that's where I'd like to begin looking today and where I'd like to look. It says, "Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a noble woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as she passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, 'Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on that wall. Let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there.'" And I'd like to take a look at this woman's compassion, her hospitality, as we get started looking into this story. I remember When I was young, about 18 years old, when I was turned 17, I surrendered my life to Christ. I changed my life and I changed who I was, and I said, Lord, I want to live for you. I wanna be different. And I made a change in my life. Now, God's been working on me a lot since then, but with the change, there were some immediate things that changed. I'd always had a plan when I was at school. I was like, I'm going to get out of school as fast as possible, and I'm going to head off to college and get that done with, and I just want to do something. I didn't know. I wanted to do something with math. That was always something that God had put on my mind and heart. I thought I'd be an engineer, and I wanted to be done. Probably, that sounds a lot like my son now. I wanted to be done writing papers in school, and I wanted to do engineering, and that's it. And I was very naive at the time. But then I decided I want to serve the Lord. And I made a drastic change in my life. And one of the things is I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And I'll do what you want me to do. And that year, they had colleges coming around, and I decided that I wanted to go to Bob Jones University, which you have to, if you knew anything about me when I was 17, 18, that was a direct change, because Bob Jones University was the last place that I would have wanted to go. And I saw the rules that they had there, and I said, that's not the place for me. I couldn't live or do or go through any of those rules. But then I said, okay, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do. So I packed my bags, and I headed to South Carolina, off to college. And I got there as this 18-year-old kid, and I knew no one, absolutely no one. And it seemed like my roommates, they had other kids from their churches and from their schools, and everybody was from the South, and then I was like the one kid from New York that went to college there. And I was there, and there I was that weekend, and my parents left, and here I was. I knew absolutely no one. I said, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. And I remember the first Sunday, I was going to walk to church on the campus church, and I knew nobody. And I'm walking on my way. And this guy comes up behind me, taps on my shoulder. He says, hey, freshman, right? And I said, yep, I'm a freshman. He said, you know what I can tell? He said, how? Because I was all alone, all by myself. He's like, yep. And I said, okay. And he says, my name's Joel Compton. Would you go to church with me? I said, sure, yeah. He said, hey, would you like to go out to lunch with some of me and some of my friends? I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. All right. He instantly became my friend. And he just came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder, and said, hey, you look alone. Come spend time with me. Next day, I remember they were having freshman orientation. And they said, we would like to introduce you to the student body president and the captain of the basketball team here at Bob Jones, Joel Compton. And he comes up. And everybody, oh, yeah, Joel! Everybody loved this guy. And I was like, first day back to college. And this guy, every time I saw him after that, everybody was friends with him. And he could have spent all of his, the first day back, he could have spent all his time with all friends that he hadn't seen that summer. But he looked across the way, and he said, there's a new guy that nobody knows. And he's all alone today. I'm going to go out of my way to be his friend. And for the whole year, he was, the whole rest of the year, his senior year, he was this scrawny little freshman. No, I was scrawny. I was really scrawny. He was this scrawny little freshman's friend. Like every Saturday, we'd spend time together. We'd do stuff together. And I look at this passage about true compassion and true hospitality and a practical, hospitable faith being on display. I ask us, first and foremost, is this practical, hospitable faith on display in our homes? I hope so. I hope it's something that is a part of your life, that you could relate to this Shunammite woman who saw this man of God and said, let's just completely make him a part of our life. Let's take him in. Let's be friendly to him. Let's be kind. Let's go out of our way to serve him. And I think as Christian brothers and sisters, we often look at hospitality. And we often say, as we are walking down the road, we come in contact with someone whose life is a wreck and ruin, would we be willing to, like the Good Samaritan, take this person up and care for the wounds and help them and care for them and be hospitable to them? But I think that it's also important that we as Christians be doing the same thing for one another. That we be looking out and being hospitable and serving one another. And like this woman, going out of our way to be generous. I think about that. The Shunammite woman was very generous and very hospitable. When it comes to other people in the family of God, and I know this hospitality needs to, and please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you should only be nice to Christians. That's not what I'm saying. But in this particular passage, I like to stick to what the passage says. This woman saw a man of God, a person of faith, and said, I want to go out of my way to show hospitality and compassion and generosity to this person. And as Christians, I think what we need to do is some days we need to call up people and say, how are you doing? How's your family? How's your relationship and your walk with the Lord? And that needs to be a part of our daily life. It needs to be something that you are actively involved with. And going out of your way to be like this woman, to be generous, and to show hospitality. Please remember, as you think about that, we've been talking a lot about treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven. Remember, you can't take it with you. You know, as you think about the things that you have in this world and your home and stuff, these things aren't going to last. Use them for God's glory today. Go out of your way to show hospitality. Make friends with other believers. Hey, you're going to spend all of eternity with other believers, right? You might as well start getting to know them today and showing compassion, befriending them, and going out of your way to spread the love of Christ. Let's look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis 18, we see hospitality under the oaks of Mamre. And I just, as I was reading 2 Kings 4 in Genesis chapter 18, I just noticed a lot of things that they had in common in these two passages of Scripture, the life of Abraham and the life of Elisha here. In Genesis chapter 18, in verses 1 to 5, it says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre. And he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, I have now found favor in your sight. Do not pass on by your servant. Please, let us a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. as we look around, if someone were to come into church for the first time, would we, like Abraham here, go out of our way to show them compassion, to show them the heart of God, and that we love and care for them? If someone were to walk into our lives and God put us in, would we go the extra mile to show that we cared about them? Think about the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. To what extent was she willing to show hospitality? She had her husband build a room for the guy. I mean, that's quite an investment. How many of you have built a room for someone? I can think of one person that I can think of right off that they completely changed their lives to go out of their way to show that kind of hospitality that this Shunammite woman showed. And another thing I'd like us to look at is that as she looked at this, she sought the approval of her husband. And we see this as the whole family being involved with this. And she is putting on display what it means to be a godly woman. She said, she asks her husband if he's willing to do this and gets him involved. And I'm just amazed at what this woman is able to do in being hospitable. She gets her husband involved. She builds a room in the house for this guy. She shows compassion and care for the man of God. And you know what? We need to, just like this woman, bless the guest. We read a verse from Hebrews chapter 13 this morning, and I'd like us to turn back there. Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verses 1 to 3, it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." It's important that we show Christ-like hospitality. That's an important part of our lifestyle. In this passage of Scripture, it says, "For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." And I've heard that talked about so often, but as I think about how this relates to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we talk about an angel and what an angel is, I totally believe, 100%, I believe the Bible. And so I believe that God not only created man and animals and fish and birds, but God also created angels. They're not created in God's image. That's something special that God gave to mankind. But he created angels, the hosts of heaven, the cherubim, the seraphim. Boy, I just think about what it's going to be like when we see the... I mean, I know that Jesus Christ and his throne is going to just completely mesmerize us and take... But John noticed those things, and I've never seen anything that looked like a seraphim before. And I'm kind of curious to see what it actually looks like. I've seen people sketching them, but... I really believe in angels. And I believe that God could send an angel here, like under the oaks of Mamre, when God and two angels came to visit Abraham. I don't think that as those guys came, their wings were on display and everything, but they would look just like you and me, but they were God's angels. But the meaning of the word angel is a messenger of God, God's messenger. And so as I relate that to 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha was God's messenger. And God had sent Elisha to the Shunammite family. He was the messenger of God, sending God's message all over the place. And they lived out Hebrews chapter 13. They entertained God's messenger. Elisha was a man. He wasn't a heavenly angel. But he was God's messenger. And we today, as we interact with people, we are to entertain them as if God does. Now, the last thing I have under here about the compassion of this family and about the state of this family, not only were they hospitable and they had served God and they had gone out of their way to entertain this man, this messenger of God, but they had a problem. This family didn't have any children. And even in the midst of not having children, this woman wasn't bitter. We see so many times through Scripture these women that couldn't have a child and how it was a heartbreak to them. But in spite of all of that, this woman appeared to be content with where God had placed her. And she was being a blessing to others. Children are a gift from God. And she was content without them and was being a blessing to others. We live in a day and age where sometimes children are seen as an inconvenience, something to be shipped off to the babysitter and can't wait to see them go. But the biblical model and the thing that we need to remember comes from Psalm 127. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Children are such a tremendous blessing from the Lord, a gift. It's so exciting to see one join the family and to be raised. In Sunday school, I kind of got this idea that I'd like to start off Sunday school with our kids up here, because I'd love to see a church. I really love to see a church full of kids and to see them be a blessing from the Lord and for us to treat them that way. So many times we see them bouncing off of pews and in throwing things around the room and constantly have to tell them the same thing over and over and over again. But there's no greater blessing that God has given us in this life for a family, for them to have children, and to see them grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. And this woman didn't have that. But she still was able to be a blessing to the man of God, and she was content. You see, no idea from this woman at this point in her life that anything was out of order. In spite of her circumstances, she was going out of her way to be a blessing to others. This week, I ask you, would you, like the Shunammite woman, try to be a blessing? Try to entertain others. Go out of your way. There's something that I've tried to do. I've tried in my life to go out of my way to call people that God has placed before me and to pray with them and to pray for them. Guys that God has brought alongside of me and to try to keep them accountable. And that's been a great blessing for me, and I've seen God do amazing, awesome things through that. And I encourage you, if you have never gone out of your way to try and give someone a call, pray with them. Encourage them. Are you living your life for the Lord? Are you making a difference in your world? How can I help you? What can I do for you today? Would you try to make that something that's a consistent part of your life? Just pick one person. If you pick one person in this church, even before we left today, go up to that person and say, I'd love to establish a Christian relationship with you where I pray for you and I care for you and I go out of my way to make a difference in your world. What a change. What a change we'd see in our lives and in the lives of people that God has laid on our hearts to minister. Maybe we'd see miracles. Maybe we'd see those who are lost, spiritually dead, come back to life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for someone one time going out of their way to befriend me. Say, I'd like to be your friend in Christ. I'd like you to come alongside me and spend time with me and be my friend and show compassion. I thank you that someone was brave enough to step out of their comfort zone and to befriend someone who was in need. Lord, I pray that this week you would lay someone on our heart. Lord, you stepped out of heaven, and when we are lost, when we are broken, you gave your life for us. I pray that you'd help us to turn around and live for you and show compassion, true compassion, to those in need. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals this morning and turn to number 436. 436, let's stand and sing Freely, Freely as we close. Number 436. Freely gave your life for us. I pray that you might help us to give our lives to show the love of Christ to the world around us. Bless us this week. Help us to have true compassion, to live a life of hospitality, and to show Christ-like love to our brothers and sisters here and our community around us. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.